All right, let's turn once again to Ephesians 6. And I want to read just a couple of verses here just to refamiliarize ourselves with what we're looking at. We're talking about the whole armor of God in chapter 6, verse 11. And we are told that we're to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And we've spent several months now looking at these verses, and we got down to verse 14 where we started putting on the different pieces of the armament of the whole armor. We saw in verse 14 that we are to stand, having our loins girt about with truth, and I pointed out to you that the truth is none other than the Lord Jesus and His Word. All right, the truth of God, and that's Christ, and that's His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there is truth that is, and that is the Lord Jesus. So we're to put on the armament, the girdle that is truth. It goes around our loins, which is from your belt line down to the knees. That's your loins area. All right, then last couple of weeks now, we've been looking at the breastplate, verse 14, of righteousness. And we spoke last week and the week before that about this breastplate and what it does for us. And so tonight, we talked about the breastplate, but tonight I want to talk about the word righteousness. All right, so we're going to find out what is this righteousness. All right, so let's pray, and then we'll continue looking. All right, Father, thank You now for our time together around Your precious Word. Lord, I ask You to bless tonight and help all of us to glean and to gain understanding. And Father, may our faith increase as a result of what we hear. We know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, Father, increase our faith as we learn more of Your precious Word. And give us understanding. Help us to be able to readily identify with this word righteousness and to see it clearly, Lord. And we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want us to look at one more thing connected to the breastplate of righteousness. And the question that I want to ask this evening and hopefully be able to answer for you is, what is this righteousness that the Apostle Paul speaks of? All right, you'll notice, look down, it says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So what is this righteousness that Paul is speaking about? Now, as you might imagine, there are many, many, many different takes on this, about this question. And while I assure you I did not read all of them, but I read several, I read many of them, and it showed me almost immediately that many of these self-described commentators had no idea what they were writing about and commenting on. I've never seen really something that was as miscued as what I read concerning this breastplate of righteousness. And I read about this one fellow, his comments on it, and he based his complete, it was like three or four pages of commentary, but he based it upon something that just absolutely made zero sense to me. I didn't get it at all. And what he said was that that his opinion comes from one of these New Age Bible versions called the New English Bible, the New English Bible. All right, I like the old one myself, but the New English Bible, and that's where he got his opinion, and he just went to town on it. Several pages of trying to convince the reader that that he was right, but I just couldn't see it. But anyway, in that version, let me explain to you what he said. In that version, the authors of that New English Bible removed the word righteousness, took it plumb out, all right, just took it plumb out of the verse, and inserted in its place the word integrity. Integrity. All right, now, I want you to understand something. I'm pretty sure that when John was wrapping up the canon of Scripture in the book of the Revelation, that he made it pretty clear that men are not to add to or take away from the Word. All right? And so, so the word righteousness is there. It's there in the Bible, in the text, in the Greek text. It's there. Righteousness. And the King James translators translated it thusly. Righteousness. No question. All right? And so when somebody on purpose takes that word, takes a Bible word and gets rid of it and puts another in its place, you're messing with an area where that's not safe. That's really not safe to do. But nonetheless, that's what this fella did, and this commentator, the guys that did this Bible, the commentator read that Bible, and so he came up with his own way to interpret what the verse is saying. But now, I think that it's pretty obvious. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, you can't substitute the word integrity for righteousness. Integrity is not a breastplate. It's not. It's not a breastplate. And I'll show you why in just a few moments. But in that version, they removed the word righteousness. Now, inserted integrity. Now, to be sure, folks, listen carefully now. Integrity is a wonderful character trait for anybody to have, whether you're saved or whether you're not saved. Integrity is a great, great character trait to have in your life. Obviously, integrity is essential everywhere. All right, everywhere. You cannot hope to do anything without strong integrity. But, listen carefully, this is important, but it is of very little value when you have to come face to face with the devil in battle. All right? So what is integrity? Well, we all know what it is, but let me share with you what Mr. Noah says, Mr. Webster. He said, it is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Strong honesty and strong moral principles. And I remember a preacher from the past say one time when I was in college, but I heard this preacher of the past say that it is the consistency of doing the right thing even when nobody's watching. That's integrity, all right? Doing the right thing even when nobody is watching. And we'll all agree, I'm sure, that this is a wonderful personality trait, character trait, for anyone to have. But if you imagine that by relying upon your own inherent goodness, all right, your own innate goodness, your own rightness, your own moral integrity, if you imagine that by simply relying on you, that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, you are mistaken. You see, the devil doesn't care how moral you are. And he doesn't care how honest you are. He just doesn't care. And so you can't throw that up to the devil and say, oh, you can't touch me. You can't touch me. I have integrity. All right? Well, you know, what if the devil got a hold of you and just, what if God turned the devil loose on you like he did on Job? How would you do then? All right? You see, it's a wonderful character, but it's not a breastplate. It really isn't. It is not a breastplate. So what is the Apostle Paul telling us here then? Well, he's telling us that integrity, as long as wonderful of a character trait as it is, it's not a breastplate that is adequate to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked. It's not adequate to meet the devil's fiery darts and all the other instruments and implements that the devil uses against us. So the question is, if it's not ourselves, if it's not our own goodness, if it's not our own integrity, so to speak, if it's not our own person, then what is it? Well, the word is righteousness. All right? The breastplate of righteousness. All right, so now here's the question. Is it your righteousness? No way. No, you're right. It can't be. It can't be. We have none. All right? So what is this righteousness that is a breastplate for the Christian as he or she is fighting against Satan and all of his principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places? Well, let's see if we can make some sense out of this matter. First thing I want you to see is this. So exactly what is this righteousness? Let's answer that question. In my opinion, this is the only obvious answer to this question of what is the righteousness that is spoken of here. We obviously need a righteousness, and our own will not work. The righteousness that Paul is speaking of here is righteousness that is provided to us by God Himself. All right? It's not ours. It's what was given to us, what is given to us by God. You see, integrity is something we generate within ourselves. We'll look at ourselves and say, well, although I am tempted to do wrong, I'm not going to do it. Although I'm tempted, I'm not going to do it. That's integrity. But it is integrity that we generate ourselves. It's ours generated by ourselves. It was not given to us as an act of God working and equipping us. So again, integrity is not a breastplate. Let me show you this from the Bible. All right, just turn one book over, one page over to the book of Philippians. So I guess you'll need to turn two pages because I need you in chapter 3. All right. Philippians. Everybody follow me? All right. Look at chapter 3 and verse 3. And we're going to read a few verses here. All right. He says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, did you see that? We have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, Paul says, I more. Now, why did he say that? Well, he's going to make a point, all right? He's not bragging. He's got their attention, I assure you that. But he's going to make a point, and here is his point. Now, remember, Paul was Jewish, all right, to the core. And so look at he's going to explain to you his credentials. And here's what he says in verse 5, circumcised the eighth day. Well, that's what all good Jewish parents did. They came to the priest, to the high priest, and they had their 8-day old son circumcised. That's what all good Jewish families did. Then he says, comma, of the stock of Israel. So in other words, he said, I am one of God's people, God's chosen people. I'm Jewish. All right? And then he says, narrowing it down a little bit, he said specifically of the tribe of Benjamin. All right? So he's a Benjamite. Then, comma, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now, what's that mean? Well, that means that Paul was a Hebrew on mama's side, and he was a Hebrew on daddy's side. So he is Hebrew through and through, okay? That's what he's saying. You know, his Jewish heritage was obvious. And then he says, semicolon, as touching the law, a Pharisee. All right, now watch. When you say that, you got to hold your head up, you know. You got to put your chin out. Yeah, he's a Pharisee. You know, they're the ones that you know, talk like they're better than you, that look down upon you. They're Pharisees. They were it. Then he says, verse 6, he's not done, concerning zeal persecuting the church. Now, boy, all the Jews, yes, sir. Good job, Paul. Good job. You straighten those old Christians out, you know. Yeah. So he got brownie points for that. And then he said, touching righteousness, which is in the law, and I love this, blameless. You say, well, he wasn't. He knows that. But what he's saying is, before I came to Christ, I saw myself as blameless. All right? I had this, and I was circumcised the eighth day. I was from the stock of Israel, from the tribe of Benjamin. My mom was a Hebrew. She had Hebrew parents. My dad had Hebrew parents. Touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Blameless. But now watch. Verse 7, watch this. All right, so here's Paul's innate goodness. This was in verse 4 through verse 6, we have Paul giving us his credentials. All right? And so what's the bottom line here? He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, none of those things can merit anybody salvation. You can't get to heaven because you were a Pharisee. You can't get to heaven because your mom was Jewish and your dad was Jewish. You can't get to heaven because you studied in somebody's school. See? That's not how it works. And so, but before he was saved, he and all the rest of the Pharisees, and it influenced upon the people. The people were all scared to death of him. And so they all felt the same way about themselves. You know, remember the Lord Jesus said they stand on the corner and watch people go by and say, oh, thank God I'm not like that. You know, thank God I'm not like that. Well, they could say that because in their minds they literally thought they were better than everybody else. And they're not. And Paul said, so all those things that at one time I thought were gain to me, I thought were beneficial, were helpful, he said, all those things now I count loss for Christ. Now watch, we're getting there. Watch, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, I'm willing to give it all up. I'll give up anything to just let me know the Lord. Let me walk with the Lord. I'll give up everything. And he did, by the way. All right? And so he went on, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Trash. That's what dung is. It's just excrement. All right? That I may win Christ. Now watch. We're getting there, almost there. Watch. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. You see that? Not having my own righteousness. He says, which is of the law, but that which is through the, what? Faith of who? Christ. Now watch. The righteousness. You see the word? The righteousness which is of God by faith. So in other words, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get born again through the blood, through the precious blood of God's Lamb. When you get saved from your sin, at that very moment, your faith is in the righteousness of God. That God is righteous in how he provided salvation for you and for me. God did not fudge the system to get us salvation. All right? So read that verse, read that 10th verse again. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So here is the righteousness which is of God by faith, and what we receive from that is the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What's that mean? That means, dear friend, that means that we trust Christ as our Savior, and when we do, God gives us that righteousness that we do not have of ourselves, and which we cannot merit, we cannot accomplish in and of ourselves. You can try all you want, but the truth of the matter is, we're all sinners. We're born that way. And so try as hard as we might to be righteous, we cannot be. You remember what Paul said in Romans 3? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So no matter how hard we try, we just can't quite get up there. All right? We just can't get righteous in and of ourselves. So, integrity, if integrity was a breastplate, Paul said, I pretty much have more to boast over than anybody else. All right? But he said, if any man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust the flesh, I got y'all beat. You know? If this is a contest, I win. That's what Paul's saying. He's hyperbolizing to make a point. All right? And the point is, our righteousness, our self-righteousness is not enough. Okay, everybody got that? All right, so make no mistake about it, folks. It is a righteousness that is from God. A righteousness that God made and was prepared by God himself. And Paul said, I want that righteousness. Mine's not any good. So I want God's righteousness. Everything else is but dung. It's trash. It's worthless. Not even worth talking about. And folks, the entire Pharisee movement was defeated by Satan in this area because they had the wrong breastplate on. They had self-righteous breastplate. And so the devil had them right where he wanted them. See, they're not trusting in God. They're trusting in themselves. And how many people are doing that today? I mean, it's just, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. Boy, that's true, isn't it? I used to have a professor in college, and he would harp on the matter of salvation, and he would say, now make no mistake, he said, every now and then, the old harlot just puts on a new dress, but she never changes. She's still a harlot inside. All right? And he was talking about this harlot over in Revelation. And who's that harlot? Old Slewfoot himself. You see what I'm saying? So Paul said, it's not going to help you. All that righteousness is self-made, and that's not what we need. So what Paul says is that we need a righteousness, which is, verse 9, look at it, we need a righteousness that is of God, and the only way to get that is by faith. For by grace, Ephesians chapter 2, just look there, you're right there in the ballpark. So look at chapter 2. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of your own self-righteousness. It's not anything you can do. It is a gift. You don't have to pay for a gift. You just accept a gift. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Paul says that the breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness that is of God. It's just that simple. That's what the breastplate of righteousness is. It is righteousness that God gives us when by faith we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. All right? That's the only thing that can keep us safe. So, number two. What do you see what this righteousness is encompassing? Do you see that? Well, let me help you see it real quick. All right, in verse 14 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this righteousness is God's righteousness. So the question is, how do we get it? We get it by faith, believing in the Lord Jesus. And so it is given to us. Well, Pastor, how's he give it to us? It's called imputed to us in the Bible. God imputes righteousness the moment we trust Christ as our personal Savior. The moment we get saved, it's not our righteousness that can't do it. It's God's righteousness. Turn back, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Romans 4. Let me show you this. Romans 4, verse 1. All right, Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? So what did Abraham figure out? Well, he figured it out. Verse 2. For if Abraham were, what's the next word? Justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. You see, if he could get justified of his own works, he could glory. Well, I got right with God through my good works. But you can't. And that's the point Paul's making. You can't. All right? So he said, if it were possible that you could, if Abraham could have been justified by works, that he would have had something to glory about, but he couldn't boast before God. All right? God knows what, you see, man looks on the outward, God looks on the inward, the heart. God knows what we are. Now watch, verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Well, here's what the Old Testament scriptures tell us. It says that Abraham believed God. You see that little word, believed? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed God, and God imputed righteousness unto him, just like he does for us. Imputed righteousness. Your righteousness, my righteousness, can't do it. We must have God's righteousness. So when the Bible, when our text verse says we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness, not our righteousness, God's righteousness. And that righteousness is imputed in us the moment we trust Christ as our Savior. That's cool, isn't it? All right, look at verse 4. Now to him that worketh, Romans 4, 4. Now to him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. All right? Now, you remember what Isaiah said about in Isaiah 53, you remember what he said about our righteousnesses? Filthy rags, right. All our righteousnesses are counted as filthy rags. That's all the good stuff we do. Can you imagine what the bad stuff we do is counted as? If the good things we do are filthy rags in God's sight, what must be all the bad things we do? All right? You can't earn your way to heaven. You just can't do it. It's not possible. So God knew that we could never attain to his standard of righteousness. So he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world so that he might give us his righteousness. Don't forget, he, Christ, is God. All right? He came into this world, the spotless Lamb of God. He came into this world, the sinless Son of God. He rendered a perfect obedience to God's law. He obeyed God in every jot and tittle of the law. He lived a perfectly righteous life. But even more than that, he was taken to the cross of Calvary. He was nailed to the cross of Calvary and hoisted up between heaven and earth, where he made himself responsible for our sins. And he bore our sins in his own body as he was crucified for doing nothing wrong. Remember Isaiah 53:6? Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which means Jehovah God, the God of the covenant. And here's the covenant. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that awesome? All right, so at the cross, God smote his dear Son as our sin bearer. And then in raising him from the dead on the third day, God proclaimed to us that his Son's death was more than sufficient to satisfy God's Almighty's righteous demands. The wages of sin is death. What Jesus do when he went to the cross? He died. Was he paying for his own sin? No, he had none. He had none. One more verse before I dismiss you tonight. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go down, please, to verse 19. He says, to wit, that God was in Christ. Do you see that? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not, what's the next word? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now watch, for he, who's the he? God the Father, yes. For he hath made him, who's the him? The Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. For God hath made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He knew no sin. So why did God make him sin for us? Why do you do that? Well, read on. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So there it is, imputed righteousness. So the question then is this: what does that word righteous mean? Well, here's what it means. The breastplate of righteousness is your salvation. And there is, listen, John 8, John 10, 2 Timothy 1:12. Nothing. There is nothing the devil can do to take away your salvation. It is a breastplate of righteousness, not your righteousness, God's righteousness. And it was imputed to you the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. I've told you all this before, but Billy Sunday, he was a wild man. I mean, he was half crazy. But God used him in a great way. And Billy Sunday used to say all the time that I am saved for eternity. He said, I am so saved that I could swing over the roaring pits of the lake of fire on a spider web, singing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Now that's pretty secure, wouldn't you say? That's amazing, isn't it? But folks, that's what the righteousness is. You see, our sins were judged by God on the cross, and that righteousness was imputed to me and to you if you know Christ is your Savior. So that's the breastplate of righteousness. All right? Pretty good, isn't it? I tell you, I enjoyed working this one. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you now for your word. Bless this to our hearts. Help us to understand what we've heard tonight. Father, what a tremendous gift is the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. We don't earn it. It's imputed. It's given. And Lord, we are so thankful that you provided this kind of a salvation for us. And I ask you now to seal this in our hearts and just give us understanding so that we can realize that there is a breastplate on us as a believer that the devil cannot break through. He just cannot get beyond it. It's your righteousness, and the devil's no match for it. So, Father, give us, I pray, understanding of what we just learned and all of its ramifications. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.